As always, I'd like to give you a summary of where we're at. We started off about 8 weeks ago with learning why we're here. The purpose of our existence, which we're here to know God, love God, serve God, this life so we can get to heaven, right? And we talked about the Blessed Trinity. And Blessed Trinity, we believe in one God, but three persons. And they are the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. First person is the Father, the second is the Son. Third person is the Holy Spirit. We talked about the private life of Christ, where he was born, the stable of Bethlehem. His earthly parents, of course, would be Mary and Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph was a carpenter by trade. And his private life lasted about 30 years. Then after that, we talked about his public life, and we spoke about the three different activities that he carried out in his public life, which were preaching, the greatest preacher in the world, and also miracles. We mentioned quite a few miracles. Miracles over nature. For example, he was able to calm the storm, walk on water, and multiply the loaves and the fish, right? Then the miracles over healing people of sicknesses, like he gave the sight to the blind, he gave hearing to the deaf. You hear that? Okay. So the paralytics were able to walk, right? And even three times you have Jesus raising someone from the dead. Lazarus, the daughter of Jairus, and the widow's son. And then we talked about exorcism. Jesus was able to cast out devils, right? And the devil exists, and we gave probably the best example is when Jesus crossed over to the Decapolis, and there was this man who was living in the cemetery, and he was so strong that he would actually break the chains, gashing himself with stones. And as Jesus approaches, he says, send us into the pigs. So there are some pigs that were they're eating close to a cliff, and Jesus said, go, and the devils, it was plural, rush out of the man into the pigs, and then they precipitated over the hill, thereby drowning. Okay? So there we have Jesus as teacher, Jesus as miracle maker, and then Jesus as exorciser. Okay? Jesus casting out devils. Then if you remember last week, we gave some names for Christ. Started off by saying that you're probably a son, you're probably a brother, you're probably a grandson, you're probably a cousin, you're probably a Christian, you're probably a Catholic, you're probably an athlete, you're probably a teenager. So I've given you about 10 different attributes of the same person. Each of those is a description of who you are, but each one is different. And I like to say Jesus is kind of like a diamond. When you're in 10th grade, you're going to be studying physics, and one of the things you learn in physics is called the process of refraction. Refraction means if you place a diamond exposed to light, it's going to come out of the diamond, it's going to be like a rainbow of light. You're going to have different colors. So Jesus, you can almost compare to the most beautiful diamond that ever came from heaven to earth. So we want to get to know different names for Christ. And a few of them that we gave would be, one was Jesus. Yeah.
House of Bread.
Good. Okay, so actually he's known as the Bread of Life, who was born in the House of Bread, right? Yeah, so he's the Bread of Life, born in the House of Bread. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. Another name for Christ, Jesus, would be?
Teacher.
The greatest teacher that ever lived. How about another one? Humberto, you know? David? Savior. There's another good one. Savior. Yes. Good shepherd. Good. That's another good shepherd. Go ahead. Yeah. Forgot. Okay, you have to look in your notebook. You should have it.
I got you. I don't need to look.
Okay.
Emmanuel.
You know what that means, Emmanuel?
It's a name.
It means God with us. It means God with us. And where I was heading last week also is Jesus wants to be your best friend. So there at the Last Supper, Jesus called the apostles friend. Now the whole thrust of this lesson is we want you, I mentioned it last week, we want you to try to talk to Jesus at least a couple of minutes every night before you go to bed. Okay? Have an image, a picture of Jesus. Here we've got several. We have the Divine Mercy, we've got the cross, we've got the Good Shepherd, we've got Jesus with the children. Whichever image seems to appeal most to you, have it. And have maybe a statue or a painting. And that's going to help you to enter into dialogue with Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. If he can be your best friend in this life, he's going to be your best friend forever in heaven. Amen? That's true. If he's your best friend in this life, he's going to be your best friend in heaven. That's what we're aiming at this whole year. Okay, so today we're going to meet another person. We've been talking about Jesus for 5 weeks. We're going to be meeting another person, and this person is the third person of the Blessed Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. At the end of the class, what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a gift. Okay, I'd like you to give a gift, and it was a gift that I gave celebrating praying for the repose of my father who passed away a couple years ago. What I did was I gave to the people a little card of a prayer to the Holy Spirit that I actually wrote a couple years ago. And this card, pretty well written, it's a prayer for the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. So at the end, I'll give this to you, and hopefully we'll be able to take it home and pray it every night, okay? No, don't turn it into an airplane or use it for your birdcage, no, but rather if you have a birdcage, okay? I want you to use this as a prayer card to get to know better the Holy Spirit. Did I ever tell you the story I had years ago with the confirmation class and the Holy Spirit? Well, I'll tell you, and then we'll enter into our class. Now, at the end of the class, the year, usually in May, we have to get you ready, the second year kids, for your confirmation. And sometimes the bishop asks questions of the confirmation students. So if he asks questions, one of you, and for example, he asks, okay, tell me the Trinity, and you say, I don't know, then the bishop's going to say, who's your teacher? Father Broome. And I'll have to kind of go like this, no? In shame. So I don't want that to happen. No? So we're getting very close to confirmation. I said, who is the Holy Spirit? No response. Come on, you guys. I told you this. Who is the Holy Spirit? No response. Who is the Holy Spirit? And one kid in the back raised his hand and said, the bird. The bird. Was he right or wrong? Humberto? In what way? You got it. Okay. Somewhat, in a certain sense, he was right because he got the symbol. You know, the bird, what bird would it be? The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So he wasn't totally off, but you can't say the Holy Spirit is a bird. Okay? Yes?
Why a bird?
And even know why?
Yes.
We talked about this about 4 weeks ago. We were talking about Jesus' baptism. Do you know? Go ahead.
Me?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. On the day of the baptism of Jesus, we already talked about this, we encountered the Blessed Trinity, right? How was the Holy Spirit manifest, Roberto? You remember the baptism of Jesus? What happened there? He was in the river. What happened? Who came down upon him? Who was that? The dove. Okay, so the dove is present in the baptism of the Lord. So that's the The symbolic connection. No, it's because of the baptism of Jesus. Is that the birth that descended upon Jesus was a dove. That's the symbolic reason behind why they say the Holy Spirit is symbolic, or the dove is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's get to know the Holy Spirit. I'm going to teach a very short prayer that all of you can learn very easily that I composed many years ago. And it's this. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Say that. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Say it again. Once again. It's not too hard to memorize, is it? So that's a short prayer in which you're invoking both Mary and the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go to our class. Even the best of our friends in life sometimes fail us. Are you following, Ricky? Okay, being perfectly honest, we at times fail them too. It's a two-way street, right? We sometimes fail too. St. Thomas Aquinas says that a true friend wills the good of another. Great definition. The greatest good possible is to unite us with God in time and for all eternity. Jesus and friendship. Jesus called the apostles his friends at the Last Supper. Before Jesus went to heaven in his ascension, he promised not to leave us alone as orphans, but to send us another. Who is this person that Jesus wanted to send us to help us and to strengthen us and to counsel and console us? This person is the topic of this class, and this person is God himself, the Holy Spirit. Who then is the Holy Spirit? Okay, the Holy Spirit is He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay, in God, who is he? Holy Spirit is God, and he is the third person of the most blessed Trinity. Okay, now we're going to see who's greater. Okay, who's greater? Who's greater? None of the three persons is considered the greatest. They're all equal but distinct or different. Is that true or false?
True.
So one isn't greater than the other. They're all equal, but they're distinct or different, okay? How is the Holy Spirit related to the Father and the Son? It is like this. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, what would that be? Okay, so the three words you're going to write in is the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Okay, below number four, put this. Write the F, that's the Father, and then an arrow. Then you got the Son here. So you got the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the mutual love between the Father and the Son, that's the Holy Spirit. Father loves the Son loves the Father, mutual love between the Father and the Son, that's the Holy Spirit. Number five, how are we related to the Holy Spirit? In the very time of our, I'm going to circle the correct one, the very time of our Ricky? Baptism. So in the very time of our baptism, we became temples of the Holy of the Blessed Trinity. We became sons of God. We became brothers of Jesus. And friends. We became friends of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is your friend. He's your friend. Can we lose the Holy Spirit? What do you think? Fortunately, yes. When we commit, what is it called? What's it called? Roberto? Okay, so it's called a mortal sin. We commit a mortal sin, then we lose the presence of the Holy Spirit in our soul, as well as the Father and the Son. Okay, right below number 6, okay, we have to get to know what a mortal sin is and pray that we avoid it. Okay, I'm going to put below number 6, A, serious. It has to be something serious. B would be full knowledge. So you know it. And C would be full consent of the will. So something serious. Okay, you know it, and you do it anyway. Can you give me an example? Yeah. What? Okay. What might not be another one? Okay. Okay, so mass is important, right? They're serious, right? You know that, right? So on purpose, you decide not to go to Mass on Sunday. So yeah, that would be a mortal sin. How about if you're a married man and you cheat on your wife? Would that be a mortal sin?
Yes.
Yeah. How about if you steal? Is stealing a mortal sin?
Yes.
How about if you left the class and you put our pencil in your pocket and you walked out the door? Would that be a mortal sin? Okay, so it's not serious, but you know it's wrong, and then you take it. So that would be a venial sin. So don't steal our pencils then, okay? That'd be a venial sin. Is there a difference between stealing a piece of gum from your father and stealing a car from the parking lot? It's a huge difference, right? Because the Protestants don't believe in a difference between between mortal sin and venial sin. The Protestants, everything is the same. We as Catholics, we believe there's a huge difference between a venial sin and mortal sin. Like if you die in mortal sin, you go to hell, right? If you die in venial sin, you're going to go to purgatory. There's a big difference, right? Purgatory, you're going to get out. But hell, you go to hell, you're never going to get out of hell. So there's a really big difference. Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a double theft, right? Yeah. Now, two rights don't make it wrong, right? It's like you're getting even. That person stole from me, then I'm going to get even. I'm going to steal from him. No. Two rights don't make it wrong. So there's a mortal sin and venial sin. Mortal sin means you lose God's grace. But we can have it restored easily if we want to. And that's the next number. Can we restore his friendship? Of course, and as soon as we want. By making a perfect act of contrition, the friendship of the Holy Spirit is restored. I should try to go to confession. Okay, as soon as possible. Okay, number 7. Okay, perfect act of contrition. Okay, let me explain that. Okay, I'm going to try to explain what a perfect act of contrition is, and this can be huge for the salvation of your soul. In this church, you see a lot of priests. In other churches, you only get one priest or maybe two. Here you got a lot of priests and a lot of priests that are coming and going. Okay? It's a very, very busy church with missionary priests that are coming and going. You have priests that are actually ordained by bishops here. It's a very active. But you go to other churches where you might only have just one priest. For example, I've gone to East LA to what is called La Victoria, helping Father Armando, just one older priest there, and he's there by himself in East LA. No? Okay, so what would happen then if you commit a mortal sin? Okay, say for example, Sunday, the whole day, you're out playing sports, or you're maybe going to a movie, you go to McDonald's, you're having a lot of fun with your friends, and you say, well, I'll go to Mass later, and it's later and later, and I'll go to the 2 o'clock Mass, and I'll go to the 5 o'clock Mass, and I'll go to the 7 o'clock Mass. Before you know it, you're getting out of the movies, and it's already 8:30, so it's too late. And you knew the Holy Spirit was really pricking at your conscience if you go to Mass, so you commit the mortal sin. Now, you can't always come to our rectory at 11 o'clock at night and knock on the door and, you know, pull Father Antolini out of bed in his pajamas so that, you know, he can hear your confession. We all have a right to sleep, too. Okay? So how can you get back in the state of grace? Okay, well, I'm going to teach you something now that can be really helpful. And I think my mother taught me this when I was 8 years old. My mother's a good catechist, you know, for many, many years. You know? She has a son who's a priest. That's me. So it's this. You're praying. Say, for example, you're praying in front of Divine Mercy or the cross. And you recognize that you missed Mass on Sunday, and that was a really bad sin. And you're looking at the cross. You're looking at Divine Mercy. And maybe tears well up in your eyes, and you really recognize you hurt God. You recognize that he was nailed to the cross because of sins like that. And you say, Jesus, I'm really, really, really sorry because I hurt you by missing Mass on Sunday. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. It was kind of dumb. I knew that I should have gone to Mass. I'm really, really sorry. I'm never going to do it again. And I love you. Forgive me. That's a perfect act of contrition. What happens in that moment, you're restored to the grace of God, even before confession. That's huge. This could be a matter of your salvation or not if you understand this. Because you may not be able to always find a priest. Here I said you see a lot of them, but other places, it's pretty difficult to find priests. In California, you have quite a few. But if you go off to, like, where my parents have a house in New Hampshire, barely any priests. Barely any priests. Or go to Iowa, or maybe down to the south in Mississippi or Alabama, where you have a lot of Protestants. You don't have priests. So teaching them to make a perfect act of contrition could save their soul. I want to repeat so that you understand that. Okay, you miss Mass because of laziness, mortal sin. Right before you go to bed, you tell God you're really sorry. And maybe even tears are coming down. You're welling up in your eyes. Maybe even a tear or two is coming out. I'm really sorry. Not that you have to have the tear. Some people are more emotional than others. No, but you're really sorry in the depths of your heart. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. Then you might even say the act of contrition, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. You say your act of contrition, the grace of God comes back into your soul. Then, you have to try to go to confession as soon as possible. You still have to go to confession. But theologically, the grace of God already comes back to you. What do you think? Isn't that important?
Yeah.
So I purposely wrote that in here because that could be a key element to the salvation of many souls. Is you can't always find the priest. Did you know that there was a priest that worked with lepers? And you know what a leper is? Those guys that had those spots on him?
Lepers.
He worked with lepers on an island called Molokai in Hawaii. His name was, maybe you saw the movie Molokai with Father Damian, St. Damian. He worked with lepers, and he actually died as a leper too, because leprosy is highly contagious. Someone touches with leprosy, you're probably going to get it. He knew he was going to die as a leper. Do you know what his greatest suffering on that island was? Do you know? His greatest suffering was he couldn't go to confession because he was the only priest on the island. So now and then a priest would come in a huge ship nearby and the priest couldn't disembark because of fear of getting contaminated. He would get in his rowboat, he'd row out to the ship, and then the priest was on the top of the ship with the other sailors, and he'd be yelling his sins out to the priest. It's kind of embarrassing, right? But I mean, he couldn't live with a guilty conscience, so he would actually yell his sins out publicly to this priest or bishop. Now, you don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to get in a rowboat to go to the nearby Queen Mary off Long Beach. You don't have to do that, okay? You just have to hit one of the confessionals, any one of the five or six priests here, confess, and then you are a new person. You're a new person. And the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace, right? That was my homily this morning. The grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Ricky, could you give me a summary? Could you give a summary of what I just said, how to make a perfect act of contrition? Okay. David, you want to add to it?
You got to be like really, really, really sorry.
Okay.
For what you did. And you got to do your act of contrition.
Okay. And then you have to go to confession when you have to. But if your heart is really sorry, it's because you don't want to hurt God anymore. You hurt God by that sin, and you don't want to hurt because you really love Him. There you have the perfect act of contrition. Then hit the confessional as soon as possible. Okay? Is that clear? So you know it. So I'm going to give you all the tools. I'm going to give you all the tools possible to help you to get to heaven. Okay? I'm going to give you all the tools. Make sure they use them. Okay? Okay, what number are we on? Okay, so number 7 is I should try to go to confession as soon as possible. Number 8, how about some other names for the Holy Spirit? That's a good question. We'll give a few names. You can find the others in the Litany of the Holy Spirit as well as the prayer called the Sequence that we pray on Pentecost Sunday. Here they are. Okay, these are names for the Holy Spirit. Sanctifier. Ricky, you know what sanctifier means?
No.
He who makes us holy, that's what it means. Okay, consoler. Okay, consoler. You know what that means? When you're sad, he gives you comfort. Counselor, what does that mean? When you got doubt, he dissipates the doubt of your confusion. Finger of God, very poetic. Paraclete. Gift of gifts. Do any of you know what those three letters are? CCC? Should be the $100 question today. You know? It's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Okay? The abbreviation of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the CCC. Okay, then we have to give, okay, we're going to fill in one of the other titles or names of the Holy Spirit after CCC. He is the sweet guest of the soul. Can you write that in there? The sweet guest of the soul. He's the love of God, the third person of the Trinity, and lastly, Holy Spirit is the interior master, okay? He's the interior master, or the interior teacher. Okay, let's go to some of the symbols. Can you give some symbols to help understand the Holy Spirit better? Great. A symbol is a mere comparison to shed further light on the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Here are some of the most common found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. They are? Let me give you five. We already mentioned one. What was the first one we mentioned about 20 minutes ago? The dove, okay? Another symbol of the Holy Spirit, you can see it below to the right. Fire. Okay, the third one would be wind. Wind. Fourth one would be cloud. And the fifth would be a gentle breeze. Gentle breeze. So I'll repeat them. Dove, fire, wind, cloud, and gentle breeze. These are our symbolic representations of the Holy Spirit. Comparison. But you can't say that the Holy Spirit is a dove, no? All right. Now, can you name the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you know them? Yeah. No, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is more difficult, but we're going to try to learn them in the next year or two. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that you receive when you're baptized, they are wisdom, knowledge, understanding, understanding. Okay, fourth would be counsel. Any of you good spellers? You know how to spell that?
C-O-U-N-S-E-L.
C-O-U-N-S-E-L. Okay. Counsel. Okay, then the next would be fortitude. Holy Spirit gives you strength, fortitude. To really love God, despite the problems there are out there. The next would be piety. Now to spell that, piety, yeah.
I-I-N-E-Y.
What?
P-I-E-T-Y.
Good, a good spelling. Piety. And the last gift, you actually have four words for it, and it is? You're faking ignorance. You really know it. Fear of the Lord. Okay. Okay. Fear of the Lord would be the seventh gift. Okay. Let's repeat to make sure we got them right. Okay. The first would be. Second. Third. Fourth. Fifth. Sixth. Seventh.
Okay.
And what are those? Those are the what? The
seven
gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, next. We're going to move on from the seven gifts to the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay, can you name several of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Yes, okay, one is, first going to put is peace. And then you got joy, chastity, meekness. After meekness, you've got self-control. And very important is patience. It's hard to be patient at times, right? We want things to be done quickly. No, I call it the microwave spirituality. We want things done like that, huh? Everything with a microwave. You know, put it in the microwave for a minute, comes out. We want that. Well, life to be microwave pace, huh? Doesn't work that way, though. Long suffering. When we're open to the presence of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we experience this wonderful sweetness in our souls. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are for our taking. Okay, what is a special feast day or solemnity in which we honor the Holy Spirit?
Easter.
What happened on Easter? That's not right. It's not Easter. What happened on Easter? Is that when the Easter bunny comes and gives you chocolate eggs? No?
Yeah.
That's a pagan interpretation. But for us Catholics, what happened on Easter? Do any of you know? The most important day of the year. Right. Okay, we called, he rose from the dead, okay? That's good. Okay, when he rose from the dead, that's the most important. If he didn't rise from the dead, after we die, it's over. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, one day we're going to rise from the dead, we're going to go to heaven. That's the whole meaning of Easter, no? Any of you here have an atheist, what the word an atheist is? What's an atheist?
Someone
who doesn't believe in God. I once heard a story of a guy who said, I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. Yeah. Kind of contradicting himself, right? I'm an atheist, thanks be to God. You ever hear the story? There was an atheist, a man talking to a little boy. The little boy was about 9 or 10 years old. And the little boy was a believer, and the man said, God doesn't exist. And all of a sudden, he was standing underneath an acorn tree. And this and that moment, there was a wind that was blowing the leaves, blowing the branches. And all of a sudden, the acorn fell, and it hit the man in the nose. And he got a little nosebleed. And the man said, that proves that God doesn't exist. Because if God was so good, he would not allow acorns to fall and hit people in the nose. And the kid said, nah, God is intelligent. God didn't allow watermelons to fall from trees. Amen? Thought they'd like that one. If a watermelon falls from a tree, that's going to hurt much more than an acorn, right? Okay, next. So you haven't given a response yet. It's not Easter. I'll give you a hint. It's we celebrate 50 days after Easter. Hey, David, you know. Don't fake ignorance. The other kids won't feel bad, no? Okay. What is it? No, that's actually before Easter. 50 days after Easter. Begins with P, E, N.
Pentecost.
Okay, so it's Pentecost. Pentecost. That is put Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. This wonderful church solemnity, we celebrate 50 days after Easter. It's the day that Jesus rose from the dead is Easter. So what happened on that first Pentecost? Well, I'll tell you. Okay, after Jesus rose from the dead, he told the apostles to go to the upper room with the Blessed Virgin Mary to pray and to fast for 9 days and 9 nights. After 9 days and 9 nights, that was the first novena, They were all praying with Mary, and there was like a strong wind, almost like an earthquake. And on the apostles, these tongues of fire descended on the over the heads of the apostles. Then they went out and they were able to speak different languages. Okay? Able to speak different languages and be able to preach the word of God powerfully. And all of them, except one, died as a martyr. Martyr means someone who shed his blood for Christ. Do any of you know how St. Peter died?
No.
Crucified upside down. How his brother Andrew died? He was crucified in the form of an X and hung on the cross with ropes for about 3 days. Do you know how St. James died? Any of you see the movie St. Paul the Apostle? Any of you see that movie? St. Paul was beheaded as well as St. James. Now, you know how St. Bartholomew died? Or Nathaniel? They skinned him alive. Imagine being peeled like a potato. They skinned him alive, and then he didn't die, so they had to chop his head off. So these guys became really strong. They were able to suffer for Christ only after Pentecost. Before that, they were kind of cowards. They ran away from the cross. They were fighting among themselves. They had a lot of confusion as to who Jesus was. But once the Holy Spirit came, they were transformed. They were really transformed. They were made into great saints. Okay, so that's Pentecost. Let's go back to our sheet, and it says, what happened on the first Pentecost after the apostles prayed and fasted with the Blessed Virgin Mary for how many days?
9 days,
okay? A powerful novena. Then the Holy Spirit manifested his presence through a powerful wind and tongues of fire that settled over their heads. Okay, was there a change in the apostles? Yes, most definitely. They were able to mark, we're going to mark all the below. Were they able to speak different languages?
Yes.
Put an X next to it. Were they courageous? Yes. Did they begin to preach and heal with trust and strength?
Yes.
They were persecuted and even martyred for Jesus, all the apostles except St. John, the beloved disciple? Yes. So all of them died as martyrs except St. John the Apostle. They tried to kill him a couple of times, but he didn't die as a martyr. He died when he was, according to tradition, older than 100 years old. Okay, where can we find the Holy Spirit in the Bible? In many places, but especially, you remember the four Gospels? We learned, what are the four Gospels? What would they be? Anyone here? What? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, what's the book that follows the Gospel of John? Okay, the book that follows the Gospel of John would be? No, that's the last book in the whole Bible. Okay, it's called the Acts, write this in there, Acts of the Apostles. So the book that follows Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is called the Acts of the Apostles, known by many as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. And that is attributed to St. Luke. So St. Luke wrote the third Gospel as well as the Acts of the Apostles with its 28 chapters. Okay, and Mary. We're going to talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary and the Holy Spirit. How is Mary related to the Holy Spirit? In the mystery of the Trinity, Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Okay, she is the mother of God the Son, and Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into their souls. You ever fling a frisbee? Remember the frisbee? Okay, in conclusion, in life we all need to have friends to be with us, to talk to us, to listen to us, and to comfort us in times in loneliness. The Holy Spirit that lives in the soul in grace is always ready and willing to listen to us, to encourage us and support us on our highway to heaven. Let me give you the prayer that I wrote. We're going to conclude our class today by praying to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Pass this out. And then we're going to say this prayer for the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. While we're passing that, we'll say the prayer to Mary, asking Mary to help us to really be open to the Holy Spirit as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Okay, you have it? You have the card? Let's start all together. Come, Holy Spirit, come and grant me a filial love for you and a sincere love for my neighbor, especially for those I live with and meet every day. Set my heart on fire with love. Come, Holy Spirit, come and sanctify me with your presence. You are the sanctifier. Attain for me an ardent yearning for holiness of life. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. May I attain holiness of life so as to attain the promise of eternal life. Come, Holy Spirit, come produce in me a reverential fear that motivates me to avoid all that is displeasing to you and to avoid any persons, places, things, or circumstances that could damage my friendship with you. Come, Mary, mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit, who had the most intimate and constant union with the Holy Spirit. Pray for me so that my knowledge and love of the Holy Spirit will grow until I am with you forever in heaven, worshiping you forever, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You're going to be able to keep these.
I think we read it backwards. Turn it over. I think we read it backwards. So okay, we'll do the other side. Okay, together. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart with your heavenly love. Light my mind so I may know the truth, live the truth, and be willing to die for the truth. Come, Holy Spirit, come in the dark and lonely moments of my life. Come to console me and comfort me. You are the sweet guest of the soul. Make me aware of your constant living presence. I recognize that I am never alone because you are with me, a faithful friend. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You are the interior master. Teach me how to pray. I do not know how to pray well. I implore you to intercede for me with ineffable groans so that I can cry out, Abba, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, come in moments of doubt and confusion. Be my light and counselor. Help me to make decisions, not according to my will, but according to your holy will. Come, Holy Spirit, come in moments of weakness. Give me strength. You who are the courage and strength of the martyrs. Obtain for me the interior strength to fight against sin, my fallen human nature. Anything is not pleasing to you. Amen. We got it. Yeah. Have some extras there?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.